Amen. Hey, how many of you guys have heard the old saying, what comes around goes around? You're familiar with that one? Very popular. You know, for instance, you go to KFC, you go to the hospital, right? It's just the KFC stands for keep feeling cruddy. We all know that. I belabor the point. But what comes around goes around, right? You know, it's kind of loosely based on what you and I would say, the biblical law of you reap what you sow, right? Okay? And believe it or not, did you know that law applies not only to the Christian, but even the non-Christian, right? And sometimes it doesn't take very long. You reap what you sow, okay? Let's take a look at what happened to these guys.
We've all heard the saying, what goes around comes around, and it couldn't be truer for these people.
Alrighty, that didn't take long. Turn to somebody and say, ouch. Man, woo, you reap what you sow, okay? But did you know that actually the same thing's going to happen in the seven-year tribulation? Okay, and it ain't going to take very long, okay? You reap what you sow. Except when you take a look at these people in the seven-year tribulation, listen, they not only reap what they sow, they reap what they sow forever. It's horrible. Watch this. This is just one text dealing with that. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. And a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be, listen, tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises how long? Forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. No wonder the Bible says you don't want to be there. Amen? Okay? Folks, once again, we are talking about a horrible time frame called the seven-year tribulation. These people don't just reap what they sow. They reap what they sow forever. If you take that mark, whoo, I tell you what, the best thing to do is get saved now. Amen? And you won't have to mess with it, okay? And the reason why it's such a horrible time is because the Bible is very clear, folks. God says that the seven-year tribulation is a time period, you just saw it, where he pours out his what? His fury, his wrath. For how long? Not one, not two, not 7 years nonstop. Jesus said, we're going to see that text, Lord willing, today. Jesus said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God kept it till 7 years, in essence, the entire human race would be destroyed. But once again, praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of what? Love as well. You would think that if God knew this is what was coming to this planet out of judgment, out of justice, because you can't have love without justice. Evil is going to have a payday, folks. That's what the seven-year tribulation is all about. Okay? But because he's a God of love, he lets us know in advance what's coming. So guess what? So you don't have to be there. You got an option. Choose the way out through Jesus Christ. And that's why we're going to continue in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. We've already seen the first sign. We're still dealing with the first sign, the Jewish people and the Antichrist, okay? We've seen the first 12 future prophecies concerning the Jewish people, Old Testament, New Testament, letting us know that, folks, that we really are living in the last days. We've already seen that Israel become a nation again, a nation in one day, a united nation. They'd recapture Jerusalem. Their currency would go back to being the shekel. They'd have a rebirth of the Hebrew language. They would blossom as a rose in the desert. They become a light unto the nations. Israel become a world source of conflict. They'd have a powerful military. And the last two times we saw that Israel would rebuild the temple. And so far we've seen the first four ways. We know they're ready to build that temple, not 100 years from now, not 50 years from now, not even 5 years from now. Folks, they're ready to build that temple right now. We saw that the Jewish people themselves are ready. We saw that the Muslim community is very fearful that the Jewish people are ready. And then last time we saw that the Jewish leaders are ready, and even non-Jewish leaders are ready. Okay? And we saw that the Jewish leaders, what have they done? They're so ready that they've actually, what? Produced two coins now. You saw them last week. Two coins with our president's head on them because they believe he is the new Cyrus who's going to help them build this temple just like the old Cyrus did. back in the Old Testament, okay? That's really what's going on current in the news. Then we saw even non-Jewish people, because you think there's no way they're going to get the world community, not even the Muslim community, to go along with building this temple again. Not so. If you're paying attention to the news, even people, world leaders like Vladimir Putin, remember that? He's over there saying he wants to help build this temple. What? Okay, and even Muslim leaders, influential leaders, people like we saw Adnan Oktar says, guess what? We want to build the temple as well. So even the Muslim community, okay? And again, what's the point with this? What temple are we talking about here? The temple that they're just going to install at the back of a Walmart to increase parking? No, praise God, that's not going to happen. Okay, what temple? This is the actual temple that the actual Antichrist will go up into halfway into the seven-year tribulation and declare himself to be God. And if that happens at the midway point and the church is raptured out of here before the seven-year tribulation even begins, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but man, it is getting close. Amen? And we still got several studies to go. The fifth way we know, folks, that the Jewish people are ready to build this temple now that the Antichrist is going up into, unfortunately, is the temple organizers or organizations are ready to build this temple as well. Okay? People have dedicated their lives to building this temple in our lifetime. Okay? But once again, let's take a look at the biblical premise, yet another passage dealing with, because there's many of them telling us there is going to be a rebuilt Jewish temple in the seven-year tribulation. But Matthew 24 is our opening text this time. Matthew 24, verses 10 through 22. And of course, Jesus is answering the question of the disciples, when is, and some signs, that his return is imminent. But Matthew 24, let's start at verse 10. The context, of course, is the seven-year tribulation dealing with the Jewish people. But let's take a look at what Jesus says. We stand and read God's holy word. Here's what Jesus said. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. It's dealing with the Jewish people. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So, when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, then let those who are in where? Judea, flee to the mountains. This is over there in Jerusalem. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of that house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. In fact, pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the what? The Sabbath. Again, you're dealing with the Jewish people. We don't worship on the Sabbath, okay? But he says they're on the Sabbath. For why? For then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. In fact, if those days had not been cut short, Jesus said no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, the Jewish people, those days will be shortened. You may be seated. But folks, what we see here is yet another passage, this one from Jesus, Matthew 24, that tells us, folks, there is going to be a holy place, i.e. a rebuilt Jewish temple in existence during the seven-year tribulation. Because again, Jesus quotes Daniel. Also, Paul quotes this, we saw before in Thessalonians, that this is where the abomination of desolation is going to take place by the Antichrist. And Paul fills in that blank and says, that's when he goes up there and says, hey, I'm God, worship me. Okay, and then you have the implementation of the mark of the beast and things of that nature, okay? But it's right there in the text. It's pretty obvious. Again, three passages dealing with a rebuilt Jewish temple. So the action point for you and I is this. We know that we're not going to be in the seven-year tribulation. Praise God. Amen. Right? So then why do we need to study this? Well, here's the point. Again, we don't know the day nor the hour. But if we see people getting ready to build this temple, rapture's got to be around the corner, man. Just common sense, okay? So that's the question. Do we see any signs of the Jewish people ready to build this temple right now? Yes, and again, as I saw, the fifth point was the organizers, the organizations are ready to go. Now, I only have time to deal with two of them. There's several of them, but these are the two most popular Jewish organizations in existence right now and have been in for quite some time, and they have dedicated their whole existence to rebuilding this temple in our lifetime. Let's take a look at the first one. This is called the Temple Institute, okay? The Temple Institute was founded in 1987 in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem's Old City, and they're dedicated to the biblical commandment for them to rebuild the Holy Temple of God, Mount Moriah, in Jerusalem. Now, this guy here, Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, he's the founder and the head of the Temple Institute. Now, listen, he served in the paratrooper brigade, which liberated the Temple Mounts we saw before in the Six-Day War in 1967. He was one of the first soldiers to reach the mount. Now, I don't have time to go into it too deep, but when you take a look at many of the people who are involved in these organizations who are dedicated to building the temple in their lifetime, they were the soldiers who got there first. This is just one of the guys. We're going to see another one in a little bit, okay? It had such a major impact on them. He stated, through the years, the more I studied, the more I began to understand that we had only ourselves, the Jewish people, and our own inaction to hold accountable. God does not intend for us to wait for a day of miracles. We are expected to act. We must accomplish that which we have been charged to do, all in our power to prepare for what? Rebuilding the holy temple and renewal of divine service. So therefore, their short-term goal is to educate the world that we need this temple. They also believe that this temple is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. They also believe that if we build this temple, it's going to provide world peace, and et cetera, et cetera. And again, as we saw before last week, they're confusing the temple that's in the millennial kingdom, where Jesus will rule and reign literally over the planet, and there will be peace. They're confusing the millennial temple with what they think they're going to accomplish today. And that's the problem. And I think that that's what the Antichrist is going to, unfortunately, dupe them into that, okay? Unfortunately, it's a biblical misunderstanding. But their long-term goal is to do all in their power, again, to bring about what? Rebuilding the Holy Temple. What's the phrase there? In our time. Right now. They want that thing in existence right now. And so, of course, what are they doing? Just sitting around hoping it's going to happen. No, he said we need to act. Now, we're going to have a whole study, Lord willing, probably in a couple weeks, just on this aspect. But these guys are the ones who are rebuilding, restoring, and constructing the sacred vessels for the service of the Holy Temple. And they are made to the exact biblical specifications, exactly like the Bible says. They're using original source materials, such as gold, copper, silver, and wood. These are not replicas. These are not models. They're spending millions and millions of dollars to recreate these vessels. Again, we'll have a whole study on it later. Okay, they're very serious about that. And they want them ready to go right now for the service of the temple, right? Now, they've already got, and again, I'll give you a little teaser here. Many of the musical instruments that will be sung by the Levitical choir has already been constructed. They've already got the golden crown of the high priest. They've got silver vessels to be used for the sacrificial services. As you can see, here's a picture. After many years, they've got the seven-branch menorah made of pure gold, okay? I believe, if I have my estimates right, the last estimate was like $3 million. It cost the amount of gold just for that thing. The golden incense altar, the golden table of showbread. Now, the director, and this is the more the face that we're familiar with, if you've been studying this issue, the Temple Institute. The national director is this guy. That's Rabbi Rickman. He's been with the Institute since 1989. He says the Torah testifies that the Holy Temple in where? Jerusalem was the spiritual center for all mankind. And he says that all the old prophets, right, Old Testament prophets, tell us that there will be a future holy temple again on Mount Moriah, and that all nations will worship there together. Again, there will be, but that's the millennium, right? They're getting it kind of messed up, unfortunately. In our time, he says, there's a great spiritual awakening concerning the importance of the temple, and the Temple Institute views this as a divinely inspired activity and an awakening, and they seek to build this desire for the temple, and it's part of a spiritual revolution, they believe, that will bring about the rebuilding of the Holy Temple and fulfillment of this prophecy when, they say it again, in our time, okay? And quote, the major focus of the Institute is beginning the actual rebuilding of the Holy Temple, right? So again, you got people, this is what they exist for. We are going to build this temple. We're going to do everything according to biblical standards, and we're going to do it now in our lifetime. Now, again, that's just one. And I only have time for another one. Let me give you one more. But this is the next most popular one, the Temple Mount Faithful. The full name is the Temple Mount and Land of Israel Faithful Movement. It's an Orthodox Jewish movement based in Jerusalem. Their goal is to what? Rebuild the third Jewish temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, okay? And reinstitute the ritual sacrifices there as well. It was founded by this guy here. You can see a picture. Israeli Defense Forces, Gershon Solomon. The members of this group, they're called the Temple Mount Faithful, okay? The group was established in 1967. So these guys started right after, okay? They had that impact. They made it to the Temple Mount in the 1967 war. Now, they're also the first ones to advocate a Jewish takeover of the Temple Mount, which is not politically correct, but they don't care. And that was even back in the 70s and 80s, when they're saying, we need to get this mount back so we can build the temple. And he said, quote, whoever controls the Temple Mount has the rights over the land of Israel. But listen to this, I kid you not, here's how it all started. Here's how he got involved in dedicating his life to rebuilding this temple. Watch this. He was wounded in the battle, the Six-Day War against the Syrians, right? He experienced a miraculous deliverance from his would-be executors, and he felt he got spared. He should have died. So he felt that God was calling him because he spared him to dedicate his life to rebuilding the temple. Now, as the Israeli soldiers conquered the Temple Mount in 67, Gershon, now he's going with them. He's on crutches. Watch this. Okay, they're going up there on the Temple Mount, and he said what he witnessed that day changed his life forever. So they get up there, they're on the Temple Mount, watch this, they encountered a neatly dressed Jordanian guide. And this guide addressed them in English. And the guide proceeded to give the Israeli soldiers there a tour of the site, explaining where the temple and the menorah and the altar originally stood. And when asked by the soldiers why he was showing them all this, the Jordanian guide answered, quote, "We have a tradition from our fathers and they from their fathers that one day the Jews would wage war and conquer this mountain and rebuild the holy temple." And then he addresses the soldiers again. He says this, "I assume you're starting tomorrow?" Now that's wild as it is. And Gershon's the one who shares this story. He goes on and says this, all of a sudden the tour guide just disappears. That's his account, folks. The whole experience, he said, appeared miraculous, and the other soldiers assumed the guide must have been an angel from God. And so at that point, when he encountered that, he faced towards the Holy of Holies, and he pledged from that day forth to what? I'm going to build this temple. We're going to work in getting this temple built back. Now, among their goals are liberating the Temple Mount from the Arab Islamic occupation, obviously, consecrating the Temple Mount so that the name of God become the moral and spiritual center for Israel and the entire world. That's what they believed the temple is going to do for them. And the rebuilding of the third temple in accordance with the words of the prophets, Ezekiel 40 through 44. They say this temple is going to be a house of prayer for all the people of Israel and the nations, Isaiah 56. And quote, that the first stone of the third temple will be what? Laid very soon. Again, this is not just a desire that they have. The government's not just talking about it, but there has been for decades people like these folks who made it to the Temple Mount first, the Temple Institute, Temple Mount Faithful. They are dedicating their whole lives. We are going to build this temple, no ifs, ands, or buts, and we're going to do it in our lifetime. And if you saw there, the guy's getting some gray. They're still thinking they're going to happen in their lifetime, folks. It can happen really soon. But you can see they're very serious about building this temple. Now, it gets even more abundantly clear, okay, not just reading a brochure from their website, that these guys are so serious about building this temple. It's when you actually go to their organizations, okay, and you tour their facilities, you see just how serious these people are. And it just so happens that yours truly was just there. So I'm going to share with you some photos that I took at the Temple Institute, okay? And now, they won't let you take pictures, and we saw them with our own eyes. That'll be for another study. They won't let you take pictures of the actual articles that you take the tour on, but I'm just going to share with you the outside and the inside, the entrance and the visitor center gift shop. But even there, it's so abundantly clear, they are ready to build this temple now. And again, what temple is this? The temple that the actual Antichrist will go up into in the seven-year tribulation. So watch this, okay? So here's some photographs. Now, I wanted you first to see the location, right? There's the location of the Temple Institute, and there, of course, is the Temple Mount. Let me give you a little shot here with Google Maps there. But you can see the red dot down there. That's the Temple Institute. The western wall is just right there, right? And then that's the whole, as you can see, that giant rectangle. Okay, that's the whole Temple Mount area that's used there. Now, you can't see it from this flat image, but the Temple Institute is at a high point. You literally have to go up a bunch of stairs. Ask Reed and Debbie, they were there. A bunch of stairs. Okay, so there at the Temple Institute, you literally are in that major elevated position. You can see the whole thing. I mean, they're right there, right next to the temple. Right? And then, of course, here's a shot of yours truly here underneath the sign there. And this, I don't know what happened. I might have had some falafel still stuck to my cheek or something, but that guy's staring at me. But right there at the Temple Institute. Now, when you get in there, the first thing you see is they got, this is basically a little teaser, right? You can see the entryway. This is like one of the outfits for the priests, okay? Handmade, woven, all to the Old Testament specs. Okay, you get in there. But again, that's about all you can take other than the gift shop. So let's take a look at some of the things in the gift shop. You can get, that's right, a 3D model of the temple, right? Hey, Christmas is coming up. You know what to do. That's right. And but that's cool. Okay, so they got a model of the temple there. Then they got some cool T-shirts, Guns and Moses. I thought that was kind of cool. And there. And this was a neat t-shirt too. America, don't worry, Israel is behind you. I thought that was cool, right? But you keep looking and you see, well, yeah, they got some cool temple pictures, right? Very classical, very beautiful artwork that they have there in the gift shop there. You can see in the Old Testament, you know, and the people going back to the temple there. And you can see one here. You got the smoke rising there from the altar there in front there with all the priests at the bottom. And you see, you know, another one here with the priest there at the top and all the other the folks there, and then you see, you know, with the high priest, and you got the incense going up, and that's kind of cool. But you keep looking, and this is what was weird. Here's a picture of the temple. Now, I don't know if you can see that, but that's the Temple Mount, and what's that? That's a crane, right? They're building it, and these are more modern dressed people. That's our times, right? Oh, and then this one, here's a picture of the Temple Mount. Do you see the Dome of the Rock anywhere? Uh-uh. There's the temple all built again. They even have a cable car, right, to get you back and forth. That's an artwork you can buy. Here's a postcard. This is cool. They superimpose just the temple on the Temple Mount with the smoke going up like it's in full action, right, that you can buy there. This brand. And then, of course, another t-shirt that everybody's driving to the new temple, right? And then this one's pretty obvious. Temple under construction, okay? And this one, I couldn't believe this one. Watch this. Just simply says, the temple is on the way. What temple? That the actual Antichrist is going up into in the 7-year tribulation. Folks, this is all going down as we sit here. They are deadly serious about it. Now, again, these are the same guys we saw before several weeks ago when we dealt with all the commercials that are produced saying that the children are ready, they're ready to build the temple now, temple, right? Well, believe it or not, that's from these guys, the Temple Institute. Now, let me give you just one more commercial that they're airing. If everything we just talked about and just saw isn't enough for you, you tell me if they're not serious about building this temple right now. But let's take a look at this next commercial. Children are ready. Are you? Because what are we talking about here? Matthew 24, Jesus laid on the line. And again, this is just one of many texts. This is the temple they're talking about. They're ready to build. That the Antichrist is going to go up into. And the reason why Jesus said, you better pray, Jewish people at that time, that it better not take place in the winter on the Sabbath, because it's going to be horrible, because you're going to need to run. Don't go back to your house. Don't go back to your field. You better just run. Why? Because Zechariah fills in the blank. He says at that point, the Antichrist is going to hunt down and slaughter 2/3 of the Jewish people. Another horrible Jewish Holocaust is coming. That's why Jesus said, flee and flee when you see the abomination of death. This is halfway into the 7-year tribulation. Are you ready? We're not going there. Praise God. Amen. By the grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, the one and only Messiah. But that's halfway in between. The rapture takes place prior to the whole thing starting. We don't know the day nor the hour, but are you ready? Are you ready? Are you really living for Jesus? Or has this world captured your heart? How are you going to finish for Jesus? Are you ready? And if you're here and you're not born again, what are you waiting for? This is the worst time in the history of mankind. Don't mess with this time frame. Are you ready? Okay? Hey, but we're just getting started. The sixth way is they've also got the finances ready. And the reason why I bring this up, because, you know, to play the role of the skeptic, if you will, is like, well, come on, are you serious? Okay, so they got the organizations. These guys are dedicated to doing it, right? They've got, people behind them and all that stuff. But you realize how much this thing's going to cost, right? I mean, and as you saw, they're doing this to the Old Testament standards, right? They're not going to build this thing out of stucco and plywood. You do realize that, right? Okay, this is going to be legitimate cost, okay? We're talking not just gold, but tons of it. Not just silver, but tons of silver. We're talking precious stones, the whole nine yards, okay? How in the world are they going to pay for this? Well, again, you need to pay attention to these guys. They've been at this for a long time, and they've been drumming up all kinds of finances to pay for it. So with that, when the permission goes, they've got it. They've got it all ready to go, including the money to pull it off. Okay, now, there's many different ways that you can give to build the temple. Of course, they're doing the old-fashioned way, if you will, right? You can go to their website, and this is just the Temple Institute, right? You can go, and you can donate there, or you can use PayPal, or if you scroll down there a little bit, you could even do not just credit card, but serious low check. You can spend write them a check, right? They'll take a check to help, you know, drum up the finances. In fact, if you go to the website, you think, well, that's nifty. They're probably going to get a couple donations. There's people all over the world that are giving to build this temple as we sit here. This is a wall that they have on there, and this is just the A's. As you can see, it goes all the way through the alphabet, and I can't show you now, but it just scrolls, and every single one of those blocks is a person's name on it that's given to build the temple. Okay, and it just scrolls for days. And just for kicks, I went to the Z's. I go, well, they're probably only going to have a couple Z's. Even the Z's are scrolling, man. There's so many people donating right now to build this temple. It's not even funny. In fact, they kind of use some of the same gimmickry that other people use for fundraisers to give you an incentive to give. Okay, came across this. In case you're wondering, folks, if you give $18, you can make it to the mitzvah level. Okay, for those of you wondering, if you give $36, you will be at the Levitical choir level. You'll get a free, beautiful, high-res photograph and a letter of appreciation. But hey, for $54, you're at the high priest garments level. For $120, you're at the incense offering level. Can you believe that? And I tell you what. Hey, for $180, you're at the high priest crown level. I mean, that's just incredible, right? But that's right, for $260, the Ark of the Covenant. Indiana Jones would be proud of you if you could just give $260, right? The Ark of the Covenant level. And that's right, you could get for $500 a Platinum Family membership, right? You'll actually get, listen, not just a photo, you'll get a membership card for you and your family to visit the Temple Institute Center. And if you wanted to even have an exhibit tour with Rabbi Rickman at the Temple Center, give $1,000 and you could do that. Or for $5,000, you get an exclusive tour of the temple with Rabbi Rickman and the Temple Institute. And the old ultimate, the preview of the architectural plans, $50,000. You get a architectural plans, a review with Rabbi Rickman, a tour of the Temple Mount, and then, of course, you'll get to go to the Temple Institute Center, all handheld with Rabbi Rickman, okay? But again, they're using the typical techniques, but they're also starting to utilize technology that's arisen in our lifetime, right? They're starting to do crowdfunding. You familiar with that? Seems like everybody's doing crowdfunding nowadays, right? You got a business or you got hospital bills to pay or something like that. Just throw up a crowdfunding page and donate, and it actually works. You can get a lot of cash that way. Or how many guys remember that that goofy craze? Remember that bucket challenge thing? I bucket challenge, and I nominate Bob and Sally. And remember that? Well, believe it or not, they even did that to build up money for the temple, except theirs was called the Shofar Challenge. Ooh, watch this.
Rabbi Chaim Richman here with the Temple Institute Shofar Challenge. What's the challenge? Blow the shofar. Proclaim this year in Rebuild Jerusalem and donate to the Temple Institute's Build the Third Temple Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. Proceeds go towards creating the architectural plans for building the Holy Temple. If you can't blow the shofar, you can still donate to our Build the Third Temple campaign and nominate three others to accept the challenge within the next 24 hours. What's it all about? It's about taking responsibility for the ultimate goal of rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. For almost three decades, the Temple Institute has led the way in temple research and education and preparation of the sacred vessels ready for use in the Holy Temple. We call upon our supporters worldwide to blow the shofar and proclaim the clear message that the people of Israel have returned to the land of Israel and truly long for the Holy Temple. In these days of the month of Elul, the shofar is blown daily. Let's take it one step further. We challenge you to blow the shofar, or at least try to blow, upload it, and then challenge three others to do the same. The Indiegogo campaign ends on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Take the challenge and please donate and help make the dream of 2,000 years come closer to reality. This year, in Rebuilt Jerusalem. I nominate the following to blow the shofar and contribute to the Temple Institute's Build the Third Temple Indiegogo campaign. Member of Knesset Moshe Feiglin, Rabbi Lazer Brody, Rabbi Tovia Singer, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, Rabbi Ira Budow, Michael Freund, Jonathan Feldstein, Professor Jeffrey Wolf, Yishai Fleischer, Josh Haston, Yitzchak Meir Malik, Ari Abramowitz, Avi Hyman, Yoni Kempinski, Shmuel Sackett.
Wow. Pulling out all the stops. And I nominate Bobby. Let it rip, buddy. Dude, that was almost as sad as the yogurt and creep thing last week. I tell you what. We'll work on that during the week. But anyway, wow. But isn't it kind of weird? It's kind of funny, but it's what? They're using modern fundraising methods that have developed in our lifetime. And how many times did he say, for what? We're doing this to build a new parking lot around the Temple Institute. You see how crowded it is. For what? Help us build the temple. What temple? The temple that the Antichrist is going up into. Isn't this wild? In fact, they had a complete success. They had over 900 people give in a very short amount of time from over 30 different countries, okay, give to this campaign, the Shofar Challenge thing. And they had like 10,000 Facebook shares. And Rabbi Richman, he goes on to say that basically this is just part of our program to use modern methods. They said this is an extension of our presence on Facebook and Twitter, social media, YouTube, you name it. So again, modern technology, modern things that are just transpiring in our lifetime are being used in our lifetime to drum up the finances for this temple. Isn't that wild? But you might be thinking, okay, well, that's cool. They're getting some good finances. They're using old methods, new methods, you know, trendy methods and things of that nature. But you're talking a lot of cash here, okay? You're going to need some serious money to pull this off. Well, you're right. And it just so happens, folks, that they are, how do you put this? They just made a discovery of a lifetime, right? Remember Rabbi Yehuda Glick? I'll share a video of him in just a second. Remember him? Remember he got shot by the Muslims in 2014 just for suggesting that the Jewish people pray on the Temple Mount like the Muslims get to? Remember that? And remember how he's now going into the Israeli government and he's influencing the government to help build this temple as well? We saw that last time. Well, believe it or not, him and another researcher with their organization, okay, they decided to, let's go look in the Bible where the Bible says precious stones and gold are, okay? And of course, you know, you look at the Bible and the Bible does talk about places where gold is at. Right? Here's just one passage, Genesis 2:12. The gold of that land is good, aromatic, resin, and onyx are also there. Okay? So they began to use the Bible, and this just recently happened. They began to use the Bible as the guide. Well, guess what? They didn't just find gold. They have found estimated billions, not millions, billions of dollars worth of gold because they followed what the scripture said where it's at. And they said, we're going to use this gold to build the temple. Watch this. Here's a report of Rabbi Yehuda Glick. They got all the money they need and then some. Watch this.
We're here in Jerusalem on Jerusalem Day with Rabbi Yehuda Glick. And Rabbi, you're telling me...
I want to share with you something that it's something very, really, very new. And actually, I haven't really told people about it yet. But you're one of the very first people who are hearing about it.
Oh, wow.
Jerusalem of Gold is what the name is, what they call Jerusalem. We, together with a group of geologists, have, after years of, like 5 years of exploring, we've located a place in Israel, in the mountains of Eilat, where there is a high a quantity of very good quality gold. In the ground, we have found it both through taking pieces of the ground and sending them to laboratories, also through sending them to our results of our findings to different geologists from around the world. We have also satellite photographing of the area, and we know exactly where there's a canal of gold, which is like 100 meters in the ground. It's an investment, but the investment we know for sure there's more than $1 billion worth of gold there in that spot there. We're talking about more than 1 million ounces of gold that are spread around there. This is the first time we have convinced the ministry in Israel to give us an exclusive license. Right now, that area is in our hands. We have an exclusive license to do the digging. As soon as we manage to raise that money needed for the investment. We are going to go start. We are ready. Within 30 days, we can go down there, start drilling, and we will come up with a deposit report.
Okay.
Within a year, we can do that, and then we can start the digging itself. We have, as I said, the exclusive license to do it.
Are you serious?
Are you serious? Yes. God is serious.
God is very serious.
God is more
serious. $1 billion worth of gold. I mean, you got the best orange juice in the world. You got the best Joppa orange. I love Joppa orange, by the way.
God said already in the book of Genesis, the very, very beginning, and the gold of that land is good.
And apparently, they've just discovered where it's been sitting there the whole time. The Bible talked about it. And they're going to use it for the temple. This is a recent development. They got more than enough money. Now, lest you think that that's not what they're going to do with the money, when asked, quote, what these Rabbi Yehuda Glick explorers plan to do with their billions of gold, quote, ultimately we expect to use the gold in rebuilding the third temple. Folks, for the first time in church history, the Jewish people don't just want to build this temple. They got what they need. And one of the big things you need to pull this off is finances, right? Anytime you got a building project, that's always the issue. Where do we get the money? They got plenty for the first time. It's crazy. Now, because of that money, it's now led to the seventh way we know they're ready to build, is they've already started to invest that money in the plans for the temple. And that's just common sense, right? Okay, so you got the money, you got the desire, you got the organization, you got all that stuff, but you ain't getting nowhere until you what? You develop plans. Unless, of course, you want to end up with things like I build, which I don't follow instructions, ask my wife. You make it up as you go. And praise God, you always end up with extra screws and stuff that you could use for some other project. Apparently, you didn't need them, right? And then it falls apart after the dogs breathe on it, you know. But anyway, so unless you don't want to end up with that, what do you got to have? You got to have plans, okay? Now, I'm going to share with you, this is a video here. They've got the plans ready to go now, right? And this is Rabbi Rickman here. There's no audio, just watch. But Rabbi Rickman here, he and another scholar, they got the plans, right? And they say this, as you watch, the Temple Institute has engaged with an architect to map out the modern third temple construction. The third temple will be equipped with every modern amenity, full computerization, underground parking, temperature control, elevators, docks for public transportation, wheelchair access, and much more. With every detail of the future temple's requirement listed in the oral law, our architects are not only designers, but Torah scholars who will ensure that everything is built to the highest modern standards while adhering to the letter of the Jewish law. Our bold campaign to raise finances for the preparations of the architectural plans of the Third Temple have been successful, thanks to the hundreds of people who have supported this effort. Quote, this development will make a Third Temple a reality. Okay? And you could see, again, this is just a video of them. You're looking at the plans. Okay? But they've gone beyond that. I mean, that's cool. Right? I mean, think about it. In our lifetime, what are we looking at? What temple? Right? Of the Antichrist. There it is on that guy's table looking at it. The Jewish rabbi. Now, they've invested money because that's kind of cool, but it's not as cool as if you could use, again, modern technology developed in our lifetime. They've brought that map to life. Here is what they've recently released, the 3D animated plans for the Holy Temple. Watch this. Actual plans for the temple are now ready to go. I when watching that, it still blows me away because it's like, do you have any idea what we just saw? This wasn't just a temple. It's not just an animated version of a temple. Again, it's the actual animation of the actual temple that we know is the one the Antichrist is going up into halfway in the seven-year tribulation. That's what you just saw. That's what we just saw. And I'm thinking about this. I mean, for the days we live, for the first time in the history of the church, could it be that we got a little taste of what the Apostle John saw when he had the vision of this temple and wrote it down for us in the book of Revelation? And you and I just got to see it with our own eyes, with the animation. Isn't that wild? The days that we live in. It's almost like we're in the last days and it's time to get motivated. Anybody else coming to that conclusion? Yeah, exactly. Real quick, hang with me, please. I got to get this one in there because this is obviously important and you'll understand in just a second. The eighth way we know, the cow's ready to go. The cow is ready to go, okay? And of course, folks, what we were talking about is the classic aspect of the red heifer issue that's going on here, okay? In fact, let me share with you a video of, once again, Rabbi Rickman of the Temple Institute talking about this next campaign they got to make sure that they get a red heifer. Let's take a look.
For almost 30 years, the Temple Institute has been accomplishing the impossible. We created a menorah of solid gold for the Holy Temple. Everyone thought it couldn't be done. After 10 years of research, we created the breastplate of the high priest. Everyone thought it was impossible. For the first time in 2,000 years, we produced pure olive oil for the menorah. Over 60 vessels have been restored by the Temple Institute. Everyone thought it couldn't be done. All of these things, everyone told us, it's impossible. And now we are restoring the commandment of the red heifer, which everyone thought was impossible. But all of the commandments of the Torah are possible and doable. Thank you for being part of the holy work of the Temple Institute.
So that's the latest project they're using the finances for. They're now working to try to raise a red heifer in Israel. And again, obviously the question is, you might be saying, well, so what? So they're trying to raise a red cow. Woo! You know, why you bring that? Well, folks, it's a big deal if you read the Bible, because the Bible is very clear. Remember, they are following every aspect of the Old Testament law concerning the temple. And you see, you can't have a temple until you have a red heifer on the scene. And this is what we see here in Numbers 19:1-4. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring you what? A red heifer without defect or blemish, and that's never been under a yoke. Give it to Eleazar the priest. It is to be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence. Then Eleazar the priest is to take some of its blood on his finger and sprinkle it seven times towards the front of the tent of the meeting. So whether it sounds foreign to us or whatever, this is what the scripture says, right? For the Jewish people, that without the red heifer, you don't have what you need for the necessary cleansing and purification rituals that are needed to institute this temple. So basically, without this red cow, it ain't happening. You can have all the plans, you can have the finances, but you can't get in there until you got this on the scene. And that was the problem. See, ever since 70 AD, when the last temple was destroyed by the Romans, red heifers, they went out of existence. Till now. I don't know if you've been keeping up on this issue, but the last several years, several different versions of a red heifer have popped up on the scene, and they look like good candidates, but again, it's got to be without blemish. And so eventually they got disqualified, right? But still, all of a sudden, in our lifetime, they're starting to pop out on the scene, right? If you will, as possible candidates. That should get your attention. Number two, it just so happens, speaking of modern technology, again, we just happen to live in the days where through genetic engineering, cloning, those kind of things, we could probably produce one, couldn't we? That's never been here before in the history of mankind. But believe it or not, folks, God doesn't need man to do what needs to be done. Thanks to the Temple Institute, the money that they've invested working with ranchers, guess what just came upon the scene? I'll let you see the date here in a second. It's so hot, I think the steam's still coming off of it. A red heifer has been born in Israel, and this one qualifies. Watch this.
For 2,000 years, we've been waiting for a perfect red heifer, a parah adumah. You know, people think that finding a real red heifer is impossible. But the truth is, there are thousands of red cows throughout the world. Go to Google and search for images of red cows, and you'll see red Angus in America, you'll see Shetland in the Scottish Highlands, and you'll see red cattle in Norfolk Island, just to mention a few. There are many red cows throughout the world, and the challenge is not to find a particular red cow. The challenge is to raise a perfect red heifer according to the exact biblical requirements here in the land of Israel. Well, it's time to stop waiting and start doing. The Temple Institute has embarked upon an unprecedented historical project to raise a herd of red cows here in the land of Israel. After decades of intensive study and research, the Institute has partnered with an Israeli cattleman and, using state-of-the-art technique and under strict rabbinical supervision, we're going to raise a herd of red cows here in Israel. We're going to select a proper candidate from this herd for the fulfillment of the biblical requirements of the commandments of the red heifer. Make no mistake, this project is nothing less than the first stage of the reintroduction of biblical purity into the world, the prerequisite for the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. For 2,000 years, we've been mourning the destruction of the Holy Temple. But the future is in our hands. You can become part of history. Help us to make this project become a reality.
The cow that changed the world. You can't say that with chicken. They're foul. I tell you what. Did you catch the date on that, folks? That just happened. A red heifer is now in Israel. Everything they need. They go on to say that the Temple Institute has announced the birth of a flawless all-red heifer that paves the way for fulfillment of a major end times Bible prophecy. In Jewish theology, a red heifer is essential to the rebuilding of the third holy temple in Jerusalem and will be needed to be sacrificed to complete the ritual purification for the temple. Quote, it is claimed that there have only been 9 true red heifers and the 10th will herald in the construction of the third temple. Several red heifers have been born in the past but have been disqualified for not meeting the biblical requirements. But now, quote, as you just saw, there is a red heifer in Israel. And Rabbi Rickman, he says this, if there has been no red heifers for the past 2,000 years, perhaps it was because the time was not right, because Israel was not ready. But what could it mean for the times we live in to have the means for purification for the temple so close at hand? If there are now red heifers in existence, is ours the era that will need them? Turn to somebody and say, Yeah, that's exactly what it means, right? Truly, these developments show that the prophetic clock is ticking, and piece by piece, the temple is getting ready to be rebuilt. And again, the Jewish people believe that this temple needs to be built for the coming of the Messiah and for God to judge this world. Watch what these two Jewish guys say about the red heifer.
Who knows? Maybe this red cow, maybe this Para Aduma will be the Para Aduma that will be used when Mashiach will come.
I think the message of the red heifer or the Para Aduma is a message for all mankind, not just the Jewish people. I believe that when it happens, I know that the non-Jewish people also believe in the red heifer and the coming of the Mashiach. They're waiting just like we are, okay? I think it's the beginning of the times where we still really have to start to do what we have to do, get ready for it.
In other words, stop goofing off. You know, what did Jesus say? When these things begin to take place, what do you do? Right? Stand up, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Christian, we don't need to be afraid of the 7-year tribulation because we're not going to be there. But the action point for you and I is this. Get busy living for Jesus because time is running out. Because the facts are this. Jesus Christ can come back now. He can come back today. There is not one prophetic event that needs to take place for the rapture to occur. It's imminent. Which means he's going to find us doing something. You realize that, myself included. Jesus Christ at the rapture will find every born-again Christian doing something. What are you doing right now? Not like, oh, hey, January's coming around. It's going to be New Year's resolution. I'm going to really get serious about Jesus. No. Today's Sunday. All right, let me just finish the day. Monday morning, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to stop being so worldly. I'm going to get back to sharing the gospel, living for Jesus. What are you doing right now? Because the rapture could happen. He's going to find you doing something. What's it going to be? Don't you want to leave here being sharing the gospel? Like Bill said, teaching a Sunday school class or doing something, telling people about Jesus, sharing the Bible, being a positive witness. Don't you want to leave that way? Because you're going to leave the planet some way. What's it going to be? Or has this world seduced you and pulled you into its evil grasp so that you're going to crash and fail at the end? Don't end that way. But again, as always, if you're here, I don't know your heart, but God does. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. If you're here today and you're not truly born again, you better get saved right now. Folks, that happened. Did you catch the date on that? If you're not saved, you better get saved right now. Don't risk being left behind. Turn to Jesus today. Amen? Let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. Are you sure that if you were to die today that you go to heaven and not hell? Now, before you answer that, let me share with you a couple things that the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven when we die. We deserve to go down. We deserve to go to hell. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this problem that we have, that we're separated from God not only now, but we're going to be separated from him for all eternity in a place called hell. We don't even want to admit that. So, once again, out of love, God gives us what's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's x-ray, if you will, divine x-ray to get us to admit the problem that we have inside that's separating us from him. Let's take a look at a few of those, of God's divine x-ray. For instance, if you think that you're worthy on your own, you don't need a Savior, you're going to get to heaven all by yourself, then let's take a look at God's test there. The Ten Commandments. The ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay? If you didn't raise your hand, you just told one. But folks, we've all done that. That makes us a liar. The Ten Commandments, God's x-ray, showing us that we have sin that's separating us from him. We're not holy and perfect like him. The fifth commandment says this, you shall not steal. Don't ever once take anything without permission. How many of you have ever done that? Well, if we're not going to tell another lie, we should all admit that as well. Well, that makes us a thief now. The Bible says that God is so holy, even his name is holy. And that's why the Ten Commandments says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And if we're honest again, folks, hey, a lot of us, how many of us have used the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the only name the Bible says under heaven that men might be saved? We've now turned it into a common cuss word, if you can believe that. The Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. The Bible also says, hey, you want to show God you're so perfect, you have no sin, then don't ever once commit adultery. And you might say, well, I've never done that. Really? Jesus lays the standard before us. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. Jesus said, if you ever looked with lust in your eye at another person, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's his holy standard. One more. The Bible says, okay, you think you're so good? Then don't ever once commit murder. You shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible again says that the sin of hatred, wishing someone was dead, is akin to the sin of murder. It's just, if you will, you pull the trigger in your heart. So how are you doing? That's just 5 out of 10 of God's divine x-ray, by the way, showing us the problem. How are you doing? Not if, but when your time comes, we're all going to stand before God. You will be forced to admit what he already knows. Hey, God, let me in. Let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not headed to heaven. In that state, you're headed to hell. But here's the good news. God said if we would just admit this, number one, then he could fix it. And it gets fixed only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why? Because only Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. And Jesus died on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be set free. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift and we can't earn it, We have to receive that wonderful gift by faith. And the Bible says God will pardon us for our crimes, our sins, against Him. And you could actually see this analogy working in the natural, in the normal world. We see this actually in the courtroom. For instance, if a person is guilty and everybody knows they're guilty, they've committed a horrible crime and the sentence is passed, the judge has knocked down the gavel and says, hey, you are going to jail, you are going to the death penalty for that crime. And we know that people, that happens all the time, and they go to jail. But believe it or not, did you know there's a way for that person, even though they're guilty, to actually be set free from that crime? It's called a pardon. And the one in authority, the governor, has the part out of mercy, out of goodness, certainly nothing that that person did in jail. They can't undo the crime. It's too late. But out of mercy, the governor could go down there and grant that person in jail a full pardon for their crimes. And by receiving that pardon, the doors come open and they are set free and they're rescued from the death penalty. Folks, that's what God is doing every single day with us spiritually. He has allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty in our place. He's pardoned us, but a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it. And it's actually been on historical record that there have been people on death row who a governor has gone down out of mercy and extends to them a full pardon, but they've rejected it. And by their own doing, they went to the death penalty. Folks, don't make that same mistake for all eternity. God loves you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done. All of it. Even the sins we don't even know about. He wants to pardon you and forgive you, but you must receive that by faith today. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon His name, ask Him to forgive you of all your sins, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Please do that now. Please do that today, because tomorrow may be too late. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. Again, thank you for joining us. If there's anything that you need, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information and number and things will pop up here on the screen here shortly. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.